Okay.
All right.
So let's do a few, let's say, dimensions of Parshas Pinchas. Is that all right? Yeah. I made 5 copies. It's one page with 2 sides on. So we're going to go through the psukim at the beginning of Parshas Pinchas. Vaydavar Hashem al Moshe lemar, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron haKohen, Heshiv es Chamosi me'al bnei Yisrael bekanoes kinasi besocham. V'lochilisi es bnei Yisrael bekinasi lachein emor hini nosein lo es brisi shalom. Vayolo luzaro achra brisku nas olam taksa shekino lelkov vaychaper al bnei Yisrael. So just to focus for a moment on these psukim, it would seem that the action of Pinchas is given a tremendous amount of significance. Now we call it, based on this first pasukik, Bekanoes Kinasi, the act of Kanos. And to give you an idea of how significant Chazal, how much significance Chazal attribute to the act of Kanos of Pinchas, I'd like to quote to you something here from this sefer called Sam Derech. He says that in our slichos, when we ask Hashem for kapara, we say Rachmana idkar lon kinase de Pinchas kina, that Hashem should remember us for us on our behalf the kina, the Maisa Kanos of Pinchas. And he says that that is based on a Medrash that says V'chiper al Bnei Yisrael. The Medrash says that V'chiper al Bnei Yisrael, this is in Yalkut Shimoni, Ad Achshav, to this very day, contemporary times, Lo Zaz, the act of Pinchas hasn't moved. Because it says Vayechaper now, in present tense. Omeidu mechaper ad sheyichyu amesim, up until Tchias amesim. The Maisa Kanos of Pinchas continuously brings kapara for our sins. It wasn't just one moment in time at that particular crossroads, but it's constant. And he asks the question, again, we're not going to go through this whole essay here, but I just want to make a couple of highlights. He asks, this is the Sam Derech of Rav Simcha Zissel Breide, the Rashiv of Chevron, and he claims that at the first glance, we don't understand why is there such great significance to the Kanos of Pinchas, and why is he granted the Bris Shalom. He quotes a Medrash that says that when Rachav Hazona was approached by the Meraglim, she didn't see one of the 2 Meraglim. She couldn't even see it. Who was that? That was Pinchas. And why couldn't she see him? Lefishaya Malach. He is an angel. I guess he's transparent or something. Correct. Pinchas Elio Philomet. Pinchas is given Kahuna. The Ibn Ezra says here in Parshas Pinchas that all Kohanim Gedolim come from Zerah Pinchas throughout Jewish history, and Pinchas has a special relationship to the Matnas Kahuna. What is so great about Pinchas? Now, obviously, he put his life into danger because Zimri could have actually defended himself and killed him. But yet, the concept of Mesiris Nefesh is something that repeats itself throughout Jewish history. He's not the only one. Yet he singled out as such a great one that his act of Kanos is engendering atonement for the people of Israel to this very day. And the thesis that he presents here, based on the Ramban, is that normally when a person does an act of Kanos, it's a very dangerous thing because there may be an admixture of his own negius, his own personal, he's an angry person or he wants to let out and vent his anger. He says that in order to achieve, and he bases himself on the Arachayim HaKadosh, to achieve a real, genuine act of Kanos, something that we can applaud, it's got to be pure. It has to be totally, 100% L'shem Shamayim, without any personal interest. And that's what the Arachayim writes, Shehoisa Akina Bishvil Kvodi Levad, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that nothing motivated Pinchas other than the covet of Hashem, and that's why It was not an admixture of personal feelings, which normally it would be. There were no prejudices or anything of the like. And he goes on and on and on to defend this presentation, this thesis, about the nature of the kanos of Pinchas. Okay, I just wanted to mention that to put things into a little bit of perspective. Let's begin with Rashi on the parasha, which is the second source in your page. And Rashi tells us, if you notice here in the genealogy of the Psukim, we take Pinchas all the way back to Aaron HaKohen. And why was it necessary to do so? He didn't really get good press amongst the rank and file Jews and the citizens of the very Shvatim. And they would declare, Haraisim ben puti zeh, shepiteim avi imo, agolim liavona zara, because Yisrael tried out every single idol-worshipping ideology that he could. And Vaharag Nasi Shevet Yisrael, who does he think he is? He destroys the life of one of the Nasiim. Zimri ben Soli was a Nasi Shevet Yisrael. You take a look at Pasuk Tezvav, which we didn't read, it says, Pasuk Yidal Shema Ish Yisrael Amuka Shehukas Midyan, Zimri ben Nasi Beis Avul Shimoni. This was not a second, a lower file, you know, second file degree guy. This was a Nasi B'Yisrael. He's a Nasi Shevet of Yisrael, meaning of one of the Shvatim of Israel. He's a Nasi, and he, Pinchas, decides, this grandson of Yisrael.
But how is he the grandson of Israel?
Because Elazar came from let's work this out, because actually he was a great nephew, no, or what? What did he say?
Aaron was his grandfather.
Okay, what's the relationship between Yisro and Aaron? Yisro.
Moshe married Yisro's daughter. That's it. So
no, but also, but Aaron was also married to Elisheva. No, who was Elisheva? Elisheva was the wife of Aaron.
But Elazar's wife, because I think that the ruling was all the Kohanim from there on were only after which were born in the Midbar.
So Elazar's wife was related to Yisrael? Okay. Oh, we'll check that out. Yeah, okay. I didn't want to...
Shepitem Avi Imo, it's Elazar's wife.
Right. So she must have been a sister-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, Moshe's wife and she was sisters. Okay, we'll check that out. In any event, we're trying to understand why the Shvatim were Mavaza. Rashi says they were Mavaza Pinchas. And the answer is because Rashi says he killed a Nasi Shevet B'Yisrael.
Yeah, what about you go back to Moran, all heads of they were Shvatim as well. What's the big deal that they also had some issues and they weren't worthy?
Correct. But the hashkafa that Rashi is presenting here is even if someone's not worthy, if he at one time was worthy, then we can't kill him in a cruel kind of a way. Keep in mind, Pinchas picks up his sword and he literally chops up, you know, Zimri. Just give me 1 second to try to develop one idea here, because, you know, I actually prepared for this year. You may think I didn't, but, I mean, there's a lot here. I don't know how much we'll cover. I hope we get most of it in. But what I wanted to suggest was the following thesis. And that is, let's turn the clock back to Bilam for a moment. Bilam, at one stage in his life, was a Navi. And yet, he was the adversary of Klal Yisrael. He really wanted to curse Klal Yisrael. The Ramban writes in Parshas Balak that it wasn't a simple matter to have Bilam killed. Bilam, if you remember, after the ultimate battle, was killed Becheref. And the Ramban says that even though Bilam was a Rasha, because at one point he was a Navi, if he would have remained as a Navi, we couldn't have him killed. And what you see here is an interesting hashkafa here, that when a person reaches a level of godless, it's very difficult, again in unique situations, to have him killed, even if he falls from that level. Because what Hashem brings about is divine punishment. You know, you find that the 250 people of Adas Korach were swallowed up by the ground, and with the Nisim that happened at the time of Raglam, and they were, that's one thing. But for us to actively murder someone, put him to death, when he reached in his right previous Gilgal, so to speak, he had reached such a tremendous status, it's not a simple matter. And let's think for a moment, let's research this guy named Zimri, who's the Nasi Mishevet Shimon. Who was he? If you take a look at the third source on your page, the Arachayim HaKadosh says, and a lot of what we want to do today is built on the Arachayim, he writes, V'shem HaIsh, right, in Pasuk Yudalit it says, who is this guy? And he says, why the word Ish? You know, the word Ish always indicates Chashivus. Correct? Are you with me on that?
Yeah.
The Anoshim Chashuvim. He says, Yirtza Loshon Chashivus, what the Torah wanted to convey to us, Lomar, Ki Hay Chashuv Uma'ula V'Yisrael. Again, he did a terrible thing. He publicly had an immoral relationship with a non-Jewish woman, but nevertheless, at the same time, who was he? You know, you could have a great person, and he stoops to a very low level. I mean, we have various unfortunate scandals even in our time. I'm not going to go into detail right now. But it means that even a great person can fall, and fall very hard. And that's what we're talking about in the case of Zimri, because according to the Arachayim HaKadosh, Ish Yisrael means he was an Ish Choshev Uma'ula Yisrael. He was Nasi Shevet Shimon. And even when a person of that stature falls to the lowest level, nevertheless, Klal Yisrael can't tolerate when an individual comes forward and puts him to death in a cruel way. So what I'm suggesting here, in order to explain this Rashi, about why Klal Yisrael were mevazeh Pinchas, to add A plus B, two elements here. Element number one, we have to appreciate the greatness of Zimri. You know, that's not something that people talk about. I don't know. Somehow, all we know about Zimri is that he was a terrible guy and all the terrible things that Chazal described that he did in the presence of Moshe and Aaron and Klal Yisrael. But we also should think about the history of who he was. He didn't just become a Shevet Yisrael because of Bakshish. He became a Nasi Shevet Yisrael because of his Chashivus and his Milah. And just like we saw that the Ramban says that you couldn't just put Bilam to death, because Bilam, after all, was a Navi, or maybe he wasn't a Navi, but whatever he was, and therefore there's a whole issue about whether we're allowed to kill a Navi in the case of Bilam. Maybe he wasn't a Navi. But if he would have been a Navi and he had the status of a Navi, we couldn't. Well, the Ramban says that he was a Kosein, and that he was only able to have certain kinds of visions.
He directed to it.
Right, but the Ramban says that's only early in his career and later on. There are like five different Rambans about the type of Nevuah and the quality of the Nevuah of Bilam. So whether or not he was a Navi, that's probably, at the end of the day, a machlokus between the Ramban and others. Whatever his Nevuah was, it was not on the same quality level as that of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, Rabbosai. The question is, since I only meet with you once a week, I'm just wondering, again, I need an extra hour for what I call questions and answers. But let me just point out, I mentioned before the Sefer Sam Derech, and he says something fascinating, which I wanted to call to your attention. And this is at the end of this long presentation, as I told you about the Kanos of Pinchas. And he says the following. What was the bizayon of Klal Yisrael in their declaration about Pinchas, that Avi Imo was potem agolos. What's the language of Rashi? Agolim lavodizar. He says the following, and he based himself on Targum Yonasan. He says, on the contrary, they may have meant it as an insult, but it's not an insult at all. The Torah gives special significance and status to Yisro, dafka because he was mefate magol avodah zara. He says that the greatness of Pinchas is he comes mizaro shel Yisro. And we have to figure out the genealogy, but he's mizaro shel Yisro, and therefore he's zocha tikunas olam, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to not let us know that you know why Pinchas was zocha tikuna gedola. It's because of something, an attribute that he inherited from his grandfather. His grandfather was the epitome, the paradigm of Midas HaEmes, of truth. He was seeking out truth. And therefore, he would lower himself, if need be, to travel and study this Avodah Zarah, that Avodah Zarah. He was thirsty to find the truth. And a person who is thirsty to find the truth, like in the case of Yisro, is a person who's going to look and seek out many different religions until he finds the true religion. And it was Pinchas who picked up on this midah, this attribute of his grandfather, who is Potei Magolli, because he was the Ish Emes. And the nature of his kina, of his kanos, was Emes. As we said, he had the tahara and the purity, as the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, that he was not motivated by any personal prejudices or anger or desire for revenge. It was purely lichvod Hashem. And it's interesting that he goes on to speak about Yosef HaTzadik, that we're not going to go into that, that Chazal say he was mefatpe b'yitzro, that Yosef HaTzadik was also dedicated to truth. And that's all included in this discussion. Okay, now we get to the real nitty-gritty of what I wanted to discuss with you today. And that is Bris Kahunas Olam. What does this mean? Rashi is bothered by this. Afal pi, says Rashi, Shekvar nitna kahuna lizaro shel Aaron. Wait a minute. He is a grandson of Aaron. And Kahuna was already bestowed upon Aaron and his Zerah. Why then is it necessary to bestow upon Pinchas in the aftermath of his Maisa Kanos, Kahuna? After all, he inherited Kahuna from his grandfather, from Aaron. So Rashi gives a text. Says Rashi, Lo nitna elo li Aaron ulebonov shenimshechu imo vitoldoseyem shiolidu achar hamshechason. Kahuna would be transferred to the descendants of Aaron, but only those descendants who were born subsequent to the Meshicha. Pinchas nolad kodem lechein. Pinchas was already alive at the time of the Meshicha of Aaron, and therefore he would not be included in Kahuna, because again, Kahuna would only be applicable to Aaron and all children, all offspring that would come into being subsequent. They would inherit the Meshicha and the Kahuna. But anyone who was alive already at the time of the Meshicha, he was not Zoche, he would not inherit Kahuna through the Meshicha of Aaron. And therefore, lo ba lichlal kahuna ad kan, until this moment in time, he was not a Kohen. And Rashi proves this from a sugya in Zvachim, which I'd like to learn with you. And the Gemara says, in Zvachim lo niskahin Pinchas ad shahargo lezimri. It's only after he killed Zimri, at that point, and that point only, that he became a Kohen. So if you look in the Bali Atosvas, and they quote the Rashbam, are you familiar with Das Kain in the Bali Atosvas? So on this very Rashi, they point out, in the name of the Rashbam, that there's a mistake here in Rashi. Because during the Yemei HaMiluim, and specifically on the eighth day of the Yemei HaMiluim, Pinchas played a very important role. And this goes back to the time of the building of the Mishkan, way before the story here in Bamidbar at the end of the 40-year period. What was his role? The Gemara says that Elisheva, who is the wife of Aaron, experienced seven different smachot, seven different happy occasions that took place at the end of the Shiva Simei HaMiluim on the eighth day. And one of them was Shahaya ben Bina, her grandson, meaning through Elazar, was a Mashuach Melchama. But a Mashuach Melchama has to be a Kohen. So the question is he a Kohen or is he not a Kohen? So the let's just present the kasha of the Rashbah. There's a stira here. On the one hand, we're saying that Hashem bestowed upon Pinchas the status of Kahuna in the aftermath of his killing of Zimri, and not before that. And Rashi gives a whole hesber. Why is it so that he wasn't a Kohen before that? Because there was no Mashicha. For Pinchas, he wasn't included in the Mashicha. He was born before the Mashicha, and the Mashicha didn't relate to him. And yet, says the Rashbam, we know that Pinchas, back in the day of the Shmoneh Esrei Miluim, was appointed as the Kohen Mashuach Melchama. He couldn't have been a Kohen Mashuach Melchama unless he was a Kohen. So how do we reconcile this all? Says the Rashbam, the Shema, perhaps we could say the following, Misham Nasan Olios Mashuach Milchama, from the day of Shiva Simei HaMiluim, he was already given the status of a Mashuach Milchama. And by the way, you remember, perhaps at the end of Parshas Pinchas, that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to go out to battle against Midian. And who is going to be the Kohen Mashuach Milchama? It's going to be Pinchas. Avoli Avoda. But there are two dimensions of Kahuna, says the Rashbam, that were not granted to Pinchas until he killed Zimri. Number one is the Avoda, meaning although he was a Kohen and he was a Mashuach Melchama, he was not granted a status of a Kohen HaOved. And number two, Ulid Doros, in order to pass on and bequeath his status of a what? A Kohen to his children, to his descendants, that he couldn't do. Vikan, but at this moment, after he did the Maisa Kanos, Nitna lo haku'una lechol mili, ulezaro achrov, bris kahunas ol. So the Rashbam basically postulates what I call Tzvei Dinim. What do I mean by Tzvei Dinim? There are two dimensions to kahuna. One dimension is the ability for the Kohen to serve in various capacities as a Kohen. But those capacities do not include or extend as far as Avoda is concerned. So the Avoda of the Korbanos was outside the pale of the status of Pinchas up until the destruction of Zimri. What status, what service of Kahuna was bestowed of Pinchas? What status did he have? He could function as the Kohen Mashuach Melchama. However, to work as a Kohen in the Mishkan and bring the Korbanos, that he couldn't do. Could he pass on his status to his children? No. So in a certain sense, I would say that although he had the din of a minui of a Kohen, he was like a mamuna of a Kohen, but he didn't really have Kedushas Kahuna, and that would only be bestowed upon him, according to the Rashbam, after the Maisa Kanos. And if you take a look at the Ramban later on, the Ramban in Parshas Matas, he says, Moshe chalak kovel lepincha shehiskel b'mitzvah. He already started destroying Midian at the time that he killed Cosby Bas Tzur. V'olav legomro. Excuse me, I have a principle that a maskel b'mitzvah. Omer lo gmar, you started already destroying Midian, now go through, go to the end. V'yaso Mashuach Melchama Zu, for this particular Melchama against Midian, he was the Mashuach Melchama. V'yein roi sheyelech Elazar, he didn't want Elazar to go out to this battle. Ki hu ha-Kohen ha-Gadol. Kohen Gadol shouldn't go out to battle, but rather Pinchas, the son of Elazar ha-Kohen, he would be the Mashuach Melchama. And this is the Ramban. So we see very clearly that Pinchas' status was that of a Mashuach Melchama. Let's go back to the Gemara in Zvachim for a moment, and we'll see that there are actually two opinions about the status of Pinchas. The first opinion, the name of Rav Chanina, is Lo Niskayin Pinchas Ad Shehargu LeZimri. That's the opinion that Rashi quotes here in Chumash. But there's a second view of Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, Ad Shesom Shalom Ben Ashvotim. This is going to happen at the time of Yoshua. And Kahuna, and the status of Pinchas as far as Kahuna is concerned, will be delayed way, way, way later on until the time of Yoshua. What happened at the time of Yoshua? Vayishma Pinchas HaKohen Unesia Ha'edim Rosh Alfei Yisrael. Rashi says, Shesom Shalom Ben Ashvot Ben Yoshua V'shevet B'nei Gad U'B'nei Ruvain. They were on the other side of the Jordan River. And Banu Es HaMizbeach B'Evra Yarden. And they weren't allowed to do so. Bikshu Shar Shvotim Lalos Aleim L'Tzava. The other Shvotim wanted to go out to battle, thinking that B'nei Gad U'B'nei Ruvain, like the Confederate States in the Union, had completely declared themselves as a separate independent entity. They were breaking off from the main part of Klal Yisrael. Sholchu es Pinchas l'dabri mohem. At that moment, Pinchas plays a very important role. He's going to be the peacemaker, and he staves off a very difficult calamity, chas v'shalom, that could have befallen Klal Yisrael, which would have been a civil war, and who knows what would have been the results. So let's just summarize. When did Pinchas become a Kohen? According to Rav Chanina, he became a Kohen after he killed Zimri. According to Rav Ashi, he became a Kohen after the episode at the time of Yoshua. Both of these shitos are very difficult because we know that he was a Kohen much earlier. According to the opinion of Rav Chanina, we know he was a Kohen at the time of the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim when he was appointed as the Kohen Mashuach Melchom, and that was the Rashbam's kash. Even according to Rav Ashi, I shouldn't say even, and on the contrary, according to Rav Ashi, the problem gets even more severe because then Pinchas was not even granted the status of Kohen at the time that he killed Zimri, but much later on, what are we going to do with our parsha, which says, "V'hoisa lo ulazaro achrav bris kahunas ola." So the Gemara itself asks this kasha: "V'idach v'aksiv v'hoisa lo ulazaro achrav." The Sugin Zvachim says, "How can you tell me that he wasn't the Kohen until after he made peace at the time of Yeshua?" The pasuk itself says that after he killed Zimri, he became a Kohen. So the Gemara answers, Kiksiv hahu bibracha hu dichsiv. In other words, the status of Kahuna was not granted to Pinchas at the time that he killed Zimri, but it was only a bracha. What does it mean, it was only a bracha? What does that mean, it was only a bracha? So Rashi has one pshat, and Tosa has a different pshat. Rashi says, hahu kra hasam bibracha ksiv. Bisro shalotifso kahuna bizarafa dayin lo niskayin. Rashi says he was not a Kohen until, again this is according to Rav Ashi, until the episode at the time of Yoshua. Moshe Rabbeinu told him that HaKadosh Baruch was granting him a bris kahuna. So that's only a besorah. That's only a revealing to him what's going to be down the line. But yet, he wasn't a Kohen. Well, this Rashi can't be taken literally because Rashi himself knows, as the Rashbam points out, that according to Chazal, he, Pinchas, was already a Kohen at the time of the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim. On the eighth day, he was appointed as the Kohen Mashuach Melchama. So how could Rashi says El Abisro, that all this is somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing to Pinchas what's going to happen down the line? Tosfos, I'm not sure is going to answer this problem. Tosfos says, "Ahula brachu d'ksiv shebircha HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheyia kohen umiyad hayyachalios kohen." Now I don't know exactly what yachalios kohen means. We'll come back to that in a minute. But something took place immediately at the time that he killed Zimri. Ella Shetchila, but it's, you know, the although he could be a Kohen, you know, in potential, but to actualize that potential, you need a certain process to take place. You have to be what's called, you need days of chinuch, which means you have to wear the big day kohen, you have to have meshicha, ulechancha bechavitim. There's a whole sugya menachos about how a kohen goes through a process of chinuch in order to prepare him for the avoda. And you need chavitim, kedin hedyotos hamischanchim bechavitim, keramisov to find. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him you could be a Kohen, and potentially you can serve as a Kohen, but nevertheless, they delayed this entire process of Halbasha, the Big Day Kahuna, Meshicha, and Chinuch. Why? Because Lo Nisratzu Lo Kol Yisrael, they weren't happy with Pinchas. When they Shaharag Nisi Shevet, when did the people of Israel embrace Pinchas? When did he become, find favor in their eyes? That's at the episode of Yoshua when he made peace amongst the Shvatim and he was able to protect, he was able to prevent a civil war from breaking out. Oz Nisratzulo, and he'll be Shuhu, Mashchu, Vechinchu, Vechavit.
I have some questions why they weren't happy with it, because yeah, he killed the Nasi, but when he killed that Nasi, the Magefa stopped. Until that point, the Magefa was raging.
Right. Why isn't that enough for the people to applaud him and adore him and appreciate him? And they didn't do so until he made Shalom amongst the Shvatim. But what? Obviously, we don't have an answer to your question, David, but what do we know? You know, I'm trying to calculate what we do know. There's a machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos, and it's a very subtle one, which I wanted to call to your attention. What exactly took place at the time of Zimri and the Maisa Kanos? The Pasuk says, V'haisa lo ulazaro achra bris kuhunas olam. Rashi says he was not made into a kohen. Rashi says it was a besora, which was only going to come to fruition according to this man, the Omer Rav Ashi, at the time of Yoshua. Tosis, on the other hand, says Yachol Lios Kohen. At that moment, he could have been a Kohen, but there are technical problems here because, right, in order for the Kohen to be able to function and do the avoda, he needs X, Y, and Z, and that didn't take place because the people wouldn't allow that to happen. Because you need a certain sense of, you know, it's got to be the happiness of the tzibur. You know, we have to get the approval of the community of Israel, and that we couldn't have gotten. So it seems to me that the machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos, within the context of the sugya Zvachim of Rashi, is the following. Rashi holds that since Pinchas was already alive at the time of Mashiach, and therefore he wasn't included in the Kedushas Kahuna of Aaron Ubanov, he was not a Kohen. And all that we have in our Parsha, according to this man, the Omer, says Rashi, is a Besorah, nothing more. When does he receive the Kedushas Kahuna? Way later on, down the line at the time of Yoshua. Tosfos, on the other hand, said he has not just the Bracha and the Besorah of Kahuna, he is a Kohen. In other words, every fiber of his body is sanctified with Kedushas Kahuna. However, he cannot implement his kahuna as the Kohen Oved Vavodas HaKarbonos. He cannot implement his kahuna until he goes through a process, and that process was delayed until the story of Yoshua.
The Kohen Tosfos, it's a technical problem.
Correct. Right, exactly. It was according to Rashi, Ba'ofen Ma'uti, Pinchas was not yet a Kohen. He became a Kohen later on. The whole story of Parshas Pinchas and the reward that's bestowed upon him is only a besorah. However, according to Tosfos, Tosfos says explicitly, no, Yachol Lios Kohen, which means he can function as a Kohen in potential. But as you said before very well, there are technical problems and barriers which will only be removed later on at the time of the Shalom that he makes. Okay, so we still have your question, David. Why is it that the people of Israel didn't embrace him in recognition and in gratitude for the fact that he staved off the Magepha? And if you look at Rashi, Rashi says that the reason why the Pasuk had to go out of its way to attribute the Yichus of Pinchas to Aaron HaKohen is because they wanted to mention his grandfather Yisro, and they were mevaze him. They didn't appreciate the fact that he killed the Nasi Shevet Mi'Yisrael. Harag Nasi Shevet Mi'Yisrael, they would mevaze him. And that again would reflect what we saw in Tosis and Zvachim, that Lo Nisratzel Lo Kol Yisrael Bos HaShovim Nesha Harag Nasi Shevet Mi'Yisrael. Pinchas had a long road until he could become Mr. Popular. He was not very popular amongst the rank and file people of Israel. They did not appreciate his Maisa Kanos, despite all the...
This was a threat to their authority.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe you have a thesis, a threat to his authority, but whatever it is, it seems because he murdered, so to speak, a Nasi Shevet Mi'Yisrael, that they didn't appreciate.
That whole door basically had to die up in the Midbar before they came to Israel, and then that the new generation was able to appreciate it in the time of Joshua.
Could be. In any event, I just wanted to point out that if we go back to the first Man D'Yomer, that's Rabbi Chanina in the Gemara in Zvachim, who maintains that Pinchas became a Kohen at the time of the Maisa Kanos. At that point, he became a Kohen. It's not just Lo Lazaro Achra Briskunas Olam bin potential, but it was actually real. And we have to reconcile that, as the Rashbam points out, with the fact that already back in the time of the Shmonas Yimei HaMiluim, he, Pinchas, was already serving as a Kohen Mashuach Melchama. So if you take a look at the Gemara in Sota, which is the next to the last source on your page 1, Tanur Rabbanan, and quoting the Pasuk in Dvarim Perek Chaf, which is the Pasuk of Kohen Mashuach Melchama, it says, V'nigash HaKohen Yeah, Pasha Shoftim. V'diber el ha'am. Yachol, I might think, kol koin sheyirtze, Talmud Lomar. Who qualifies as a koin Meshuach Melchama? So the Pasuk says, V'dibru ha'shotrim. The Pasuk itself has contiguous to the koin Meshuach Melchama, the shotrim, to teach us, ma shotrim b'memuna. In order to maintain the status shofar, you have to be appointed as such. Af Kohen b'memuna, he's got to be appointed as the Kohen Mashuach Melchama. V'ema Kohen Gadol. Why not assume that the Kohen Gadol would function in this capacity as well? Why do you need a separate
Kohen Mashiach?
So the Gemara says, "Dumya the shoter, ma shoter sheyesh memuna al gabov." In other words, the shoter himself has to have someone above him. That's the melech, and the melech will control the shoterim. Af kohen, with regard to kahuna, sheyesh memuna al gabov. There's got to be someone above him, and therefore the kohen gadol, who's the top banana, he doesn't have anyone above him. In fact, the Gemara, I don't understand. Kohen Gadol Nami Aikam Melech Al Gabav. The Melech controls all the people, even the Kohen Gadol. The Gemara answers, Bavodoso Ka'amar. We need someone who will divvy out the Avoda, who's the absolute leader and controls, dominates the Avoda. And Bishlema, if you appoint a Kohen as the Kohen Mashuach Melchama, then in Hilchas Avoda there's someone above him who controls him, and that's the Kohen Gadol. But if you appoint the Kohen Gadol, then no one's above him in Avoda. But Rabosa, we see very clearly from this sugya that a Kohen Mashuach Melchama is appointed as a Kohen, he has a status as a Kohen, and he has no one above him in Avoda except for the Kohen Gadol. And Fakir, Dafka, because he has in front, above him, a Kohen Gadol, that's why he can function and be appointed as a Kohen Mashuach Melchama. So I mentioned to you that We have a sefer here called Sam Derech, and I would love to get into this sefer because I just started learning it, and I see that there are fascinating ideas here. He says the following. Just trying to find it. He says, Kasha. He wants to ask the following question. Hey Chaya Pinchas Mashuach Milchama. How could he, Pinchas, be appointed as a Mashuach Milchama? He says, Bishleim Kol Kohen, any other Kohen, Yeshalov, Al Gabov Kohen Gadol, Hamimuna Olapi Avodah Space Hamigdash. Every other Kohen could be a candidate for this to be appointed as the Kohen Mashuach Milchama because he has above him in the Avodah. The Kohen Gadol can divvy up the Avodah, decide what Avodah you will merit, you know, you'll be responsible for. Ulam, but in the case of Pinchas, Lemandi Yomer Shalom is Kain Pinchas Ad Shesom Shalom Bein Hashvatim Bimei Yoshua, which either according to Rashi means that until that point he wasn't a Kohen at all, or according to Tosfos he was a Kohen, but he was lacking certain prerequisites and mechanical actions which only took place and were implemented at the time of Yoshua. Is if so, Pinchas could not do the Avodah. And if he could not do the Avodah, in Cain Ein Kohen Gadol Agabov, the Kohen Gadol could not divvy out to Pinchas and determine when and how he should do the Avodah because he wasn't royal Avodah. Is Mimela, if the precondition to appointing someone, a particular Kohen, as Mashiach will come, is that he has to have a Kohen Gadol Memuna al Gabov, as far as the Avodah is concerned, Pinchas doesn't fit the bill. V'im kein tzarch iyun, hechoy roi Pinchas, lios, kohen Mashuach Milchama. He doesn't give any answer. But the question is very fascinating in and of itself. Okay, let's move on. On the bottom of page 1, we're turning back the clock to Parshas Balak. And there, at the end of Parshas Balak, it says, "V'hine ish mibnei Yisrael ba," etc., etc. And the name is not mentioned. Rashi says that the name, right? And it says, fine. Now we're turning to page 2, and Rashi says the following: "Nisi beis av l'shimoni li echad mi chameshes bati yom shem fine." So Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Pinchas tells us that the Torah went out of its way to identify the Muke as a Nasi Beis Av L'Shimoni, and why? Because this expands our appreciation of the greatness of the act of Kanos. That you would think that, okay, you want to start up with somebody, but don't start up with someone who is so significant. He's in a Nasi Beis Av L'Shimoni. He has a status as a Nasi. But nevertheless, Pinchas is not deterred by that, and he will rise to the occasion and do the act of Kanos. That's what the Torah wants to tell you. I want to study with you the Archaim HaKadosh. Really? Great. He says, Hine Hadon Baruch Hu Eino Chafetz Lezalzel Afilu Birshoyim Lefarsem Mi Bale Hadvarim HaMetuof. Says the Archaim, why is it that in the initial record at the end of Parshas Balak, the name of Zimri is completely omitted? Says the Archaim, because the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't want to be mezalzel even in a Rasha. And the way we said it before, it's a Rasha who is an Adam Chashim from Ma'ul, as we'll soon see in the Archaim, to be mefarsem who he is. We don't have to mention him by name. For example, the Mekoshesh Eitzim is just that. He's an anonymous Mekoshesh, and we don't have his name. And here too, Lo Gila Osam Bishas Maisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu conceals his name as it describes the action and the avera that he does. Oh. But wait a minute, we're only halfway there, because at the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, Hashem does reveal his name, correct? He says, Ad, at what point does Hashem reveal his name? Dafka achar shehizkir shvach Pinchas. If you read the sequence of the Psukim, first we learn about Pinchas, and the Torah lauds him and praises him for being Bekanu as Kinasi, Hinei Nosen Lo Brisi Sholom, and then, only then does the Torah reveal the name of the Mukeh. Why? He says the Torah doesn't want to reveal the name of the Mukeh to embarrass him and to publicize his rishus. That's not the Derech HaTorah. But rather, within the context of the Shevach of Pinchas, here's where the Torah wants to tell you that this act of kina, to be mechaper al bnei Yisrael, was so great that lo kina b'adam pachus. It wasn't that Pinchas started up with some secondary guy, you know, some lowlife. Ella the adam gadol nasi beis av, and even she was had a certain chashivas. He calls her the rosh haklipos, the avia melech, and her father is the king. Rosh umos beis av. Vinis ave b'misa b'zuya li'ein kol. And nevertheless, Pinchas did not hesitate. He was being mekadesh shem Hashem, even if it meant killing someone who was of such great status, of such great stature as Zimri and Cosby. And this is all part and parcel of the praise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to record in the Torah Lenetzach Nitzachim for the act of Pinchas. The Ulei Lo Diach HaBakosh Lo Hisig HaShavas HaChema Ela B'Yam Tzos Dover Zesh HaSakina Bin Nasi V'Nis Kadei Shmo Kiddish Gadol V'Nichna Koach HaSitchem Vachra, and so forth and so on. He gets a little bit Kabbalistic here, but this is all to prove the great madrega of the kina, of the Maisa Kanos of Pinchas. That's the first point that I wanted to share with you from the Or Chaim HaKadosh. But he goes on, and in the next paragraph he says the following: Hu sha'amru shem ish Yisrael afil yachra Maisa b'shem Yisrael Yehuna. The Torah is now recording what already happened. He had done his terrible rishus, and yet the Torah insists on calling him Ish Yisrael. Why? L'amadita shlo nekar mishosha. As terrible and repulsive as the act that he did, the immorality and the public nature of it, nevertheless, he's still considered part of Yisrael. Why? Because the pasuk says, Shem ha'ish Yisrael ha'mukeh. Mukeh means he suffered his punishment. And if he suffered his punishment in this world, then he doesn't lose what he calls avdan nafsho. He doesn't lose his soul and his spirit. He still is part of Klal Yisrael because he received his punishment. And therefore, the Torah is telling us something very important over here. That when a person receives his punishment, he becomes reinstated, so to speak, into Klal Yisrael. Nifra mimenu ha'avon, the payment, you know, the penalty that he had to pay was meted out to him when Pinchas took the Romach, you know, he implemented the act of Kanos, umisaso kaparoso, and therefore he will achieve the kapara through his death. And that's the second point that I wanted to gather from the Or Chaim HaKadosh. Now let's see if we could go one step further. He says the following. The pasuk says, Shaul mimishpachas ha-Shauli. And Chazal tell us, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, also in the Medrash Rabbah, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Chamisha Shemos, there were five names Mikrolo that this fellow named Zimri was called. And one of them is Shaul ben Aknanis. What did he say? The kashal divrei medrash shol hamer kanu zimri, that shol is a reference to zimri. Lama Hashem, lama miyaches Hashem shmo al mishpachto hamiskanis olaf. Falo omru zal shem rishoyim yirokev. He says, it's amazing that in all the names that are brought down, Hashem adds His name to each one of these names. And one of these names is Shol. Shol is identified, according to Chazal, as Zimri. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu add His name to Zimri? What about the principle established by Chazal in the Masechta Yuma, Shem Rishon Yirokev, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never wants His name to be shown to rest on that of a Rasha? And he says the following. He says, now I thought that maybe the answer to this, I thought that maybe the Archaim HaKadosh should answer this question in light of what he's already established, that after he's killed Zimri, that he's put to death, he's called Ish Mi'Yisrael. He gets Kapara. So maybe that could be the answer to the Archaim's question. But it seems that the Archaim has a different approach over here. And I think in order to appreciate the Archaim here in this, we need an introduction. And that's the Ramban in Bamidbar, Perek Chof Hei, Pasuk Hei. So let's take a look at the Ramban. Now Pasuk Hei, if we go back, is, we just get the Pasuk out, sorry. It says, Vayomer Moshe el Shoftei Yisrael, Hirgu Ish Anoshav Hanitzmodim Lebal Pior. So Ramban says the following, Hanochan Bi'enai. You have it, right? Until last source on page 2?
Yeah.
Okay. Bi'inyan HaParsha. He says, the most acceptable interpretation of this parsha, ki mitchila nemar, first it says vayitzomed Yisrael aval pa'or vayichar af Hashem b'Yisrael, right, the people of Israel violated this terrible act of immorality and they attached themselves to Baal Par as well, and the wrath of Hashem, right, the af Hashem was flared up, if you will, against Klal Yisrael. Ki yotza ketzef milafon of hechel ha-negev. There was the fury of God, and the plague began, and people were dying. Vashem berachmav amar le-Moshe. But I guess after the people died in this magefa, Hashem had a sense of mercy, and he turns to Moshe. She yishpitu ha-shoftim v'yislu ha-nitzmodim. Well, this is pretty scary. The judges should judge, and each person who was guilty of this crime had to be hung up. I mean, that's the language here of the Ramban. V'lo yispeh ha'af tzadik im rasha. Interesting, quoting, he paraphrases the pasuk by Avram Avinu after the mice of stone, that the righteous should not be destroyed together with the wicked ones. U'moshe tziv ha'kein la'shoftim. And if you take a look in Pasuk Hey, it says, "Vayomer Moshe al Shofti Yisrael, Hirgu Ish Anoshev Hanitzmodim Lebal Pa'or," that they should indeed carry out the command of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. V'kasher Nesfu Kol Ha'Eidah Pesach Ol Moed Lasus Dvar Moshe, and the people gathered in front of the Ol Moed in order to implement the command of Moshe. V'od Hanekef Hove Bahen, and the plague was still
raging.
V'hine, heyez Hashimoni azeh, this person from Shevet Shimon, meaning Zimri, had ha'oza, right, he was absolutely chutzpedik, v'yakrev el echav es hamidyonis, he brings this Misyonis woman near to his brothers. What does that mean? Limrod b'Moshe b'Shoftim lasos came before Hesia. He wants to rebel against Moshe the judges publicly in the eye of the people. Ki nasi v'gadol hayv'rabim ozrim lo. He was a great leader and he had a lot of supporters. Oh, Kamosha Omer Rabbo Seinu, alternatively, the Ramban suggests, in the name of Chazal, Omer Lo Shifto, Anu Nidonim B'Misav Ata Shosek, we're being killed and you're silent. In other words, they were challenging him, Zimri, to see if he would come to their support. In other words, they supported him and now they expected him to support them. We're in a terrible situation. We're being sentenced to death. You should get involved.
But if anything, he just made things worse. What was he trying to accomplish by having immoral relations? What was happening to Hector Magenta?
I guess he thought that if such a powerful individual of status would get involved in the same kind of action, the same kind of avera, then they realize that this, they can't just judge people to death. What are they going to do? They're going to judge the head of Shevet Shimon to death? And that's where Pinchas is going to come in here, he says. He says the following. She'amulo shivto anu nidonim b'misav v'ata shosek. We're being sentenced to death, and you remain silent. V'hine hischilu Moshe v'ashoftim livkos. And if you take a look at the pasuk, it says v'heim bochim pesach ol moed. So the Ramban says that it was Hema here in this pasuk is referring to whom? Hema hischilu Moshe v'ashoftim, because it's a reference to Moshe and to the shoftim. Because if you go back to the pasuk, it says. It mentions Klal Yisrael in the pasuk, right? Kasher, right before the Rabban says Nesru Kol Ha'eda Pesach Ol Moed, and in front of the Kol Ha'eda, Zimri does what he does, and therefore you could have said that when it says Hema Bochen, it's a reference to the entire assembly of Klal Yisrael. But the Ramban says no, it's a reference to Moshe and the Shoftim. That's the way he says it. Now, why were they crying? Apparently they were afraid that HaKadosh Baruch would really get even more angry now, like you said before. And then it says, Vayamod Pinchas, you have that? Vayamod Pinchas Vayifalel Vateotzer HaMagefa. So the Ramban apparently understands that Pinchas Vayifalel means he made a judgment call. And he decided that he would do the Maisa Kanos, and as a result, V'teyotzer HaMagefa, he stopped the Magefa. This was the decision that he made. That's the Lashon of the Ramban here in his commentary on Parshas Balak, in explaining why Pinchas decided to make this move. Now I just want to quote to you a line here. Maybe we'll have to stop soon for mincha. But he says, "Ha'ein ze pela ki b'matzav shel sakana k'shanegef amoves nishtolim b'machli Yisrael yia nasi v'gadol b'Yisrael b'dor de'al lasos ma'isa shafil kal shebekalim einenu osei b'farhesya." How could he make this decision, Zimri, to do such an action, and yet publicly, even worse, in such a brazen way? He was part of the Dardea, and people are dying. Hello, Zoe Mamish Hit Abdut. He says, why not define this action, and I think David, you were implying this before, as a kind of suicidal tendency, kamavis vadai, and he would either die at the hands of as a result of the plague, or at the hands of the Dayani Yisrael, who were already commanded to kill all the chotim. Right. So he says the following: this kaptu shifto shel Shimon etzel Zimri she nasi shavamalo hein don edini fash ve'ata yoshev v'shoseg ma asa. Okay, this is a medrash. The medrash says, "Amad v'kibetz esrim v'arba elif mi Yisrael v'halach etzel Kazbi," and he grabs some v'blorisa v'evia etzel Moshe. Amalo ben Amron zu asura muteres v'yantom asura bas Yisro mi hitira lecha. Umefurish bazesh ha'meinia lezimri v'maseyu haya ach v'rak ha'tzorech lahatzil es b'nei shivto ha'rabim shechotu uka'es omdu danir yisrael adunam lemis al pi oros Moshe. In other words, Zimri wanted to be an Imr Chacham and outsmart the Dayanim and Moshe and say, wait a minute, you're telling me that she's Asura? That you married Bas Yisro? I mean, she's also got the status of a, obviously, she was a Gioris, but that's going to be...
It's a different situation altogether.
He says, he tochit shesover Zimri shim yovo lifnei Moshe v'chal shov t'vion ben Amram zu asura muteres yochel avatel es psak hadin shal Moshe v'dayonim l'chayiv mises achotim mibnei shifto ki miachel l'chol shevet bezli mishalo ladun v'hu rosh ha-shoftim shal shifto. He could paskin that she's muteres, and therefore they made a mistake in their psak. All right, I think maybe we'll stop here, and if we have time, we'll finish this up. It could be that the action of Zimri can be classified as a kind of avera lishma. He would do this avera, and then he would paskin that this woman is muteris, and the Bnei Shivto, even if they mistakenly were guilty of this crime, it would be a shkoga b'horos bezdin, and they would not be mechuy of misa, but rather a parhelim shel helim dover. Meaning that they had something to rely on over here, where their Sanhedrin of their particular Shevet, because keep in mind the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Shoftim v'Shoftim Titu v'Chol Chol Sharecha l'Shvatecha and l'Shvatecha, Chazal say, is Moshiv and Dayanim l'Chol Shevet v'Shevet. So the Dayanim of that Shevet would have the authority to issue a verdict that this woman is Muteres, and therefore if they would find that this was a mistaken hora, then the people who were guilty of this crime would still come under the category of shogigin. It would be a shogig b'horos bezdin, they'd be chayev a parhelim dover shel tzibur, but not misa. And this was the perhaps the cheshbon of Zimri. Mutav, we find, for example, that with regard to regard in Amalo David Amalo Melech Shekamosi Yehorg B'no Mutav Yavar Avarzovi Yischal Shem Shemayim For Hesid David Melech, who was one of the four legs of the Merkava, was Muchan. He was willing to be Moser his place, give up his place in Olam Hazeh Olam Haba, in order to avoid a Chil Shem Shemayim. So we see how far the Gedolim, the greats of Jewish history, are willing to go in order to save and prevent a Chil Hashem. Now, we had mentioned earlier the Or Chaim HaKadosh on the Pasuk Lishol Mishpach Sasha'uli, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that one of the names of Zimri was Shaul ben Aknanis. And how could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Matil Shmo al Shvatim, would be Miyaches his name to Zimri and Shem Rishoyim Yirakev? The Eino Tzorch Lomar Lachtimo Bishmo Yisbarach, and the Archaim explains the following, that the death of Zimri was his kapara, and therefore it could be Matzdik, Hashem could be Matzdik the Mamoro Khan shehichtim shmo olav, because he became a tzaddik. Mashma chen midivrei emzal sha'omru Shaul al shehishil atzmo l'divrei averu. So again, even though these things are very difficult for us to understand, we see that the description of Zimri as a nasi v'gadol haya, and the Ramban says that Ravim ozrim lo, he came to defend his fellow members of the Shevet in order to stave off the gzera and the psak din that they were chayv misa, and this is what he did. This was his action, and he did it before Hesia, Li'eni kol gdol Yisrael, Moshe v'Aaron kol Zkenim, and all this was in order to try to save his Shevet, and this was Gedola Avera Lishma. And therefore, he writes that Kevan Shekol Maaseu Hoya B'chinas She'ela HaShe'ela Zman Spidom She'hishel Atzmul Dvar Avera is therefore is Din HaShe'ela She'chozeres B'eina Afhu Chazal Matzavo Kodem is Lo Yipol She'nishar Ben Shiftei Ka V'Shem HaShem Gadol Ka Yisiachis Evel Nikreis Mishpachto HaShe'uli. And HaShe'uli means you have the Hey at the beginning of the name and the Yud at the end of the name, which is the Shem HaShem. Madua Yichet HaShem Es Shmo Dafka L'Shem Sha'ul. And the answer is because, as he says, Kedei Lahatzel B'nei Shivto Hayimuchan Lahashil Atzmo L'Dvar Avera Din HaShe'ela Choseres B'Eina. This is the Shem that's chosen. Hishil Atzmo L'Dvar Avera. He himself was not a Baal Avera, but Hishel Atzma Avera. And this is what the Arachayim HaKadosh presents as a thesis based on the Ramban. And it all integrates into this picture of why Klal Yisrael were Mevaze Pinchas. They didn't think that Pinchas had the right to do what he did to such a Choshuva Baal Maila, a Nasi, to Shevet Yisrael. Alright, we'll stop here.